This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. A good Sunday morning to you. How are you today?
You know, it's a beautiful Sunday. Summer is just rapidly, flying by.
I hate that.
You know, kids are back at school. I mean, it's crazy how fast it all goes. You know, the older we get, the faster it goes. It's just the nature of things. A very interesting show today, I think. There have been many attempts over the past decade or so to bring a movie studio to Montana and all the things that it brings. More than movies. It's movie production studio, an entertainment production studio. And some of it in the past has hinged upon the state legislature approving incentives to bring film here and to film production. I think it certainly was put on the front burner as a result of the economic impact that Yellowstone had on not only Montana, but in this part of the state in particular. You know, they were doing a lot of shopping and spending and hiring here in Missoula, in the greater Missoula area. And we have the latest group, that are putting down roots here. They've bought, a facility here in town. We're going to hear all about that. So they put real money on the line. They have a plan. They have a vision. They have a production that's scheduled to come up. They own some of their own properties to produce. They're very enthusiastic about what's happening in Montana, and made a commitment to move from Wyoming, where they were starting a similar kind of venture. They didn't get the support from the legislature there, and they heard about what was happening here in Montana, and they came here, and they've decided that the facility here in town that had a huge manufacturing or production capability, just lend a lot of credibility and gravitas to what they were doing. And so we have the two leading edge guys from Storyhouse, Sean and James, here today to talk to us about what the plan and the vision is.
Great way to actually start your Sunday is to think about entertainment. And we're going to have
no business like show business.
Right. No business. Anyway, when we come back, our guests are Sean Patrick Higgins and James Brown III from Storyhouse. Back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our guests, Sean Patrick Higgins and James Brown III from Storyhouse.
Gentlemen, welcome to Missoula. Welcome to our show. It's good to see you today.
Good to see you too. Thanks for having us, Scott and Arnie.
We're excited.
You should be excited. You know, there's
that was James, by the way.
Yeah, that was James. You should be. You know, you're bringing a lot of excitement to River City, right here to River City. And why don't you share a little bit with our listeners about the genesis of Storyhouse? We know you started you both have theatrical and entertainment industry backgrounds. You're involved in a project that started a few years ago in Laramie, Wyoming,
and now you're Sheridan, Wyoming.
Excuse me, Sheridan. I apologize. I always think of Wyoming as just one big city,
but pretty much as a back street. Yep.
And now you're here. So give us how you got here.
Well, there's the long version, and then there's the longer version. So I'll give you just the long.
Good.
Growing up in a little cow town, then making my way through the theater and dance program at University of Wyoming to Yale School of Drama to New York City, where I linked up with James and once upon a time was an acting coach as he was moving through his grad school auditions to go back to school. As we were doing that, he booked a principal on Broadway, having had 12 plus years already on Broadway. Yeah. We started producing our first independent films together in New York under Trinity Entertainment. We rolled Trinity Entertainment into Storyhouse as we started to see this opportunity for a real estate-backed film production company. And so 8 years ago, we shot a film, Early Light, about veterans in equine therapy in Sheridan, Wyoming, in partnerships with CHAPS Equine Therapy. We sponsored their veteran program for that summer, which was being cut during COVID, and kept that program alive and still alive today. And then moved forward and started imagining this housing development in the West and what that could be as a means to both create a socioeconomic integrated neighborhood, but then to create a catalyst for film production. And so the real estate portion of it led us all the way up here to Missoula. And through a lot of serendipity and different little magic threads, we landed at the Roseburg facility. We acquired that last January after, you know, nearly 2 years of conversations and really looking where in the state would be best. And then we now we're producing our first film this fall here in Missoula.
That's a very nice short. I wouldn't call it a long version. That's a very nice short version. So you're here in Missoula, and you're going to do your first production, and you bought a facility. And I know from my background that the kind of work that you did has not made you millionaires unless you had a lot of crypto investment somewhere along the line. So you must have some financial backers behind Story House. Whom might they be, if that you can divulge that?
You know, we're a private company, so I'll share a few.
Sure.
We have some really incredible support. One of our first angel investors is actually James's father, James Brown Jr.
Did you have to beg him, or did he was he willingly brought him on board?
Well, I will say we pitched him one version of our business plan, and he said, "This isn't quite it. I know it's not what you want." And
right. That's a good way to say it, too, yeah. Right?
And he said, "So go back and sort it out, and then come back to me." So we did, and he was in. He's been in since 2021.
And is one of our co-founders. And, you know, we bootstrapped the company to begin with.
Sure.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Sure.
Every penny I had in every pocket I could find of my jeans was put into the company. And
your jeans aren't like Sidney Sweeney's jeans, right? Or
that whole not Sidney Sweeney's jeans. I wear Wranglers, but yeah.
Just, I can assure you they're not.
I might look good in them, though. I don't know. Who knows? So, so James's father's support was one of the key folks getting involved early. My uncle, Tim Wagner, helped us build the company and the business plan. Nicole Bautier, who's one of the other co-founders, her father, Fred Bautier, Frederick, is the largest investor in the company. He came in first with a very small check and sort of said, "Hey, let's see where this goes." 4 years later, came in with a much, much more significant investment, and
What do you think was the catalyst to get that larger investment? Besides the business plan, was there anything else?
Us hitting milestones. I mean, it really was us delivering upon the business plan. We cash flowed the company a year before we had it in our original financial performas. So we had this really wonderful plan when you set out, you know, best laid plans, right? And we thought we were going to do a 3-year greenfield development of a new film production facility and then fill that up and slowly grow our jobs and walk into it. Well, when the Roseburg site was introduced to us overnight, we had a facility that we could have never built from the ground up. The capital investment would be impossible in today's dollars. And we had a community ready to embrace us in that. And so our business plan, it really accelerated and accordioned down. And we hit many points of inflection very quickly. And our group of angel investors and seed round investors who were already winning with us, they decided to double down. They liked what was happening. Right. And they came back in. And we're creating real value for them while also walking forward the vision that we meant to walk forward. And so there's no big private equity hedge fund involved in this company.
Right.
And we've also been really fortunate to have partners like Stockman Bank here in Missoula, and we've started to raise capital with Missoula and Montana investors, which has been again another amazing show of confidence and support from the community.
Sure. I want to focus on the business side of this before we talk about the entertainment side, which is always the lore, you know, projects that are coming up and all that. So you said you're cash flowing out. Where was that coming from? I mean, you don't have productions here. Was it coming from Wyoming? And what in Wyoming was cash flowing you at that point?
Yeah, we have a 240-acre real estate development in Sheridan, Wyoming, that's looking at that socioeconomic integrated neighborhood focused on the ratio of workforce housing, fair market value housing, and then ultimately someday some upscale housing. And that's how you blend a 20-60-20 model, 20% target, attainable, affordable, fair market, et cetera.
So you've dropped the idea of having this the studio like the one here in Wyoming.
You know, we have the blessing of space down in Wyoming, and right. so we still have a business park planned, and it would definitely be large enough to facilitate a satellite stage.
Right.
But we have really turned our investment dollars that would have gone into that in Wyoming. Those are now in the dirt in Montana and going to redevelop this site.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so we're in phase one of that project down there. So the front phase is roughly plus or minus 38 acres. We just received preliminary completion from the city of Sheridan just this week on Monday on a bunch of the infrastructure that's in the ground. We have the first sticks going vertical this fall. And so for anyone who's in development and knows what it is to annex a property into a city,
yeah, it's not easy.
Rezone it, it's not been easy. A journey, right?
Right, anywhere.
Anywhere. Yes, and we've been embraced by that community in Sheridan as well. You know, we are very hopeful that we are attacking a housing need and providing some solutions right. to that community and ultimately some jobs.
So there have been, as you know, several abortive attempts to put a studio in here, you know, spurred by Yellowstone and all, you know, many years ago from River Runs Through It. People said we should be doing this here, and there have been many assaults on the legislature to get some, you know, tax incentives for film production and all of that. And those didn't pencil out for people. They couldn't make it work. Part of it is how to keep everybody employed year-round, and, you know these issues. So why will this work when those didn't?
Well, I think you used the word assaults on the legislature, and
right.
that's really, you know, to some extent, there are two camps, really, from filmmakers. And you have folks that are outside in who, to some extent, are extorting the state or looking to get the best deal for them from a producerial bottom line, and that's what matters. Mm-hmm. We want to believe that we're approaching it different. We are people, planet, profit, in that order, those three Ps. And so when you think about people first, where you're doing something, how you're doing something, of a people, by a people, for a people, it really changes that whole ecosystem. And we were successful in getting this the Media Act extended for the next 20 years. That wasn't Storyhouse. That was Montana-led, Montana filmmakers, right. 210 folks, 100-plus businesses saying, hey, we want this here. But we don't want this outside straw in. We want to cultivate this economic ecosystem from within
right.
and see the benefits coming back. So sure. we took a different approach.
Right. You haven't run a studio before.
We haven't run a studio before.
So tell our listeners, if they don't fully understand, what does that really mean to run? What is a studio these days? You know, with AI, with all the things, all the technology changes, what is a brick and mortar operation in, 2025 look like?
It's such a big question, and we have so many different hats that we're wearing. So we have Storyhouse Montana, which is the actual studio co, the holding company for the studios. Then you have Storyhouse Partners, which controls the slate of film and TV projects. That's 18 different projects. You have Storyhouse Village or Storyhouse Property Company, which holds the land asset in Sheridan, Wyoming, and it's all under Storyhouse, Inc. And you have Storyhouse Film Institute, which is going to be a training arm, and that's coming online. So all of those things have to be talking to each other as we grow this brick and mortar investment and the redevelopment of that. And ultimately, there's nothing happens fast in development, unfortunately, for real estate. So we've been embraced by the city, by the county. A lot of, I'll say, relatively low barriers of entry. We seem to be aligned in the values. The jobs are important. The recapturing of jobs are important. And we're putting, our money where our mouth is to help make that happen. And in that, I believe, we've won some allies, and there's a lot of good faith effort pulling us along into the city. What does it look like to run that brick and mortar studio? There's full-time jobs that operate that, production managers, technical directors, head electricians, et cetera, that are assigned to the site. We have our first Roseburg employee, Kim Clark, who was hired back the day that his job was terminated at Roseburg. We got him back, and he's been a plant manager there for, in different roles, but 30 years plus. So he knows everything about that site, where every light switch is, where every sprinkler head is. And someone like him is invaluable to just keeping the brick and mortar running
right.
and operational,
right.
fire protection, et cetera. Then you have, how do you fill those walls up? And so we're bringing together anchor tenants. Right now, I don't want to announce it too early, but we have some folks coming up from Bozeman relocating to Missoula, which we're really excited about, to be one of our first anchor tenants there. that will help us in a production services agreement and help provide some of those different things that you need on set for a film production. Then you have 85% of the jobs that are work boot jobs on film, right? These are
right
good wage jobs, $87,000 approximately a year on 180 workdays, you know, and the opportunity for folks to retrain, retool into this industry, really interested in, you know, young skills workers coming out of Missoula College or different high school CTE training programs and putting them to work, figuring out how they find themselves a career path here at mm-hmm. Storyhouse. And so you need all those different cogs to be moving in tandem to run a brick and mortar facility. And then you need to fill it up with productions.
You bring up an interesting point, which is the university here. Have you guys made inroads to speaking with folks at the university? And if so, how?
Yeah, we're so excited to be working with the University of Montana. So even on our first film, St. George, we are already in the process of creating an internship program through Storyhouse Film Institute, where we're going to have students from the University of Montana, as well as Missoula College, working on set with us. So there'll be PAs in different departments working under the different department
paid
heads.
Internships.
Yeah. And right. So you're ramping up. Is St. George a full-length feature film?
It is. It'll be our first full-length feature film under the helm of Storyhouse Partners, written by an amazing, amazing writer and director, Andrew Pastides. We are in the middle of pre-production now. We're in,
that's exciting.
Staffing up and yeah,
I can see the smiles on your face.
I want to go to one other point, which is so with the university, you're talking to them. We also have a bunch of other entertainment related industry companies in Missoula between Logjam and Live Nation and others. Are you guys tapping into those folks? Because there's a lot of shared, you know, skill sets, if you will, of the workforce.
Yeah, we've loved getting to know Warm Springs Productions, and we look forward to working with them for sure. Julie Smith over at Complexly, we keep playing phone tag, but we hope to get in the same room here soon and look at what Julie's doing. And, you know, that ecosystem is so rich here. There's Montana Video Production just over in East Missoula and some other folks that are already working on different projects with us and will be working as we go forward.
You got three television stations plus MTPR. Then you've got a few radio groups. But you have people that are kind of in and around the industry in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious what the plan is to kind of see how you can ignite that workforce.
Yeah, it's a great question. And we have our ideas of a best laid plan, and we're really excited to see how we braid that together with reality as we go. One of the people who will be the linchpin in that is Linwood Fields, who we've hired as the Missoula Market Community Development.
We know Linwood, and that's a very smart move on your part.
Yeah, she's been great. And so she'll continue to pull us into the right rooms that we need to be in and introduce folks to us and vice versa. And, you know, that's one of the things we don't want to recreate the wheel. We want to say, hey, we're here. How do we all grow together forward and create this movie village, media manufacturing village out at Storyhouse and invite anyone and everyone who's in entertainment industry to think about what it could be to be over there.
So we have James here. We have you here. What are your roles? How do you differentiate your two roles as a dual head leadership of this operation?
Yeah, it's, just like that moment right there.
You're right, exactly. You look at each other and you...
We have this beautiful two sides of a coin, and often without being self-important, I have a quick metabolic rate of thought, and James has a psychology degree, and so he's a perfect mirror and reflection to me in so many different rooms and is an incredible listener and an incredible balance point and the checks and balances of what it means to walk this forward and really ask ourselves the questions in a fully, you know, blunt candor on the table sort of way is what do you intend? How are we going to make that happen? And is this the right audience, right, for that? And I think in some ways that's a balancing act. We walk the business forward, we walk the creative side forward, and those two things have to be in harmony. James?
Yeah.
No, I want more from James.
But are you more like the art side, the creative side, and you're more of the, you know, the I mean, are
masquerading as a businessman? I don't know. You know, it's
well, you're talking a lot more about the business aspect, and you're talking. I feel like you're talking more about the. You know, you're starting to talk about the film St. George. So.
Absolutely, yeah. So, our roles traditionally, that is absolutely the breakdown. Sean being the CEO, and me being the CCO, and certainly my lens and approach to the business is going to be on the creative side. On the marketing side, I'm looking at the architecture, looking at what the full Storyhouse Village is going to look like and feel, and how we create that live, work, play community. And then up here at Storyhouse Montana, what projects do we think make sense for our vision, mission, and values? What stories we want to tell? What stories are out there that we just don't think have a space yet? So all of those things come through my department. But what is great about our partnership is, while my approach and role are creative, I've also now, I'm getting my MBA at Wharton. So really rounding out the other side of the business and making sure that we do have those checks and balances between the two of us.
Well, that actually leads me to another quick question, which is the studio system itself in Hollywood is changing so rapidly. Yeah. And there's been, you know, look, if it's not a Marvel or a superhero franchise, right, which they could shoot on a soundstage and, you know, with technology, you know, they have huge box office. These smaller story type films, you know, they're harder to fund. They're harder to get support behind. Mm-hmm. So how is what we're doing here, what you're doing here, kind of a counter to that? Like,
yeah, it's what I love about the industry today is that the consumer is demanding both the Marvel film and the 1 minute TikTok or YouTube that they can watch vertically, like, and everything in between. And because there's so much demand for content, because of the success of streaming, because of the success mm-hmm. of internet and the traditional heritage studios and networks, the industry actually can't keep up with that demand. And part of our delivery with Storyhouse Montana is that we can actually be a space for all of those things to happen. So a content creator could come and rent space from us and create a 60-minute series that's 1 minute episode.
Is that part of the plan, by the way, is to try to recruit people from Hollywood and traditional production facilities to bring their projects here?
It's certainly a portion of the business plan. I mean, right, we are looking at Storyhouse Partners is more of a disruptor in the industry, where we're looking at independent film, small mod budget, low budget things, $10 million less, growing series up to $50 million. But we're not the $110 million a year film series Yellowstone that's coming in overnight and changing an ecosystem. And as we grow forward, inviting those artists like Andrew Pastides to come and tell his story on a, you know, a moderate low budget.
St. George,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's so interesting. We will take those third-party rentals. We'll be excited when those folks come, as long as they're hiring local Montanans and working within the new sideboards of the film incentive, which was put together with Montana Media Coalition, and all those sideboards protect Montanans first and keep the dollars here for Montana by Montana, right?
Right.
It's so important. As we go, we will also have those content creators and sort of ad hoc third-party rentals. But some of the stories that we're really interested in are, I've talked about it before, is following a conscious dream. And Montana's full of hunters. And I think, you know, growing up in the West, I understand a portion of that. And as you look at it, it's almost like coming upon this idea in a forest clearing, right? And you have to listen and you have to be patient and you have to watch that idea. And then you can mm-hmm. find a way to bring that conscious dream back home at some point and share it with the community. And when you think about it like that, those A24 films, those neon films, these things that, like Whiplash with you know, J.K. Simmons and other folks, those things that are catalysts for conversation that excavate the human experience and the human condition that people are going home and having conversations about weeks afterwards and creating community around, that's what we're really interested in.
You mentioned St. George. It's ironic because Kevin Costner's building broke ground on a studio in St. George, Utah just 2 months ago.
Right.
Are you watching what he's doing there? I know there's a lot of room for growth, and you know competition is good, and one studio isn't going to change things. But it's Kevin Costner, you know, and everybody in the world knows who Kevin Costner is. Is what they're doing there have any impact on what you're doing here?
It's a great marker of where the industry's at and where the market is going, right? This divestment from New York and L.A. and Atlanta and looking to other locations where it's not cost prohibitive to shoot. You know, what's interesting is Costner's got a 3 to 4 year build ahead of him with power distribution issues. There are so many folks.
So you are following it.
we have a finger on the pulse of everything that's happening in the industry. Good. And, you know, wake up, read those articles, get some of them before they're out, you know, that sort of thing, because that's the business of the business. And we are the first to market. We are half the size of Warner Brothers. We're one of the largest studio facilities in the continental United States. And that's here in Missoula, which is a wild thought. You know,
yeah. I mean, obviously, you got this facility that was just, you know, right out of central casting for you guys, right? Where can we find 100,000 square feet? Boom, right in downtown, you know, downtown.
Did you have
Missoula.
To do reclamation on the property?
Roseburg did a wonderful job in stewarding that site and transitioning that site. Very clean site from an environmental studies standpoint. We had two clean environmental phase ones done by really reputable people, different firms here in town. And I can't speak highly enough about how they led that demolition process and stewarded the site over to us.
Nice.
So let's flip a little bit from the business side of things. You both have passion for being in front of the camera and on the stage and have done that. Are you going to take those roles in any of the productions that are coming your way?
Oh, it's such a long way around the barn, Arnie.
Or even not at this studio, at some other. You know, I mean, you're still looking for roles.
Well, you know, my I have to be careful what I say. I've had a recent Robert Frost, you know, Two Roads.
Right, The Road Not
moment.
Taken.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And so even so far as this last week, as we've had our lead actor in St. George get a wonderful job that he has to take with CBS, and he's got, you know, three kids, two beautiful girls, a young baby boy, real life going on. And so we are currently recasting, replacing him in this film that's going to roll in 7 weeks. And what a joy, what a journey. And it's humbling when you have to realize, okay, how can I be in the greatest service of this project?
Right.
And maybe in passion of supporting the art, the script, everything else, you figure out how you elevate it, and maybe it's not you in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. And so that has been a journey, certainly, that we're excited
about. You got to wear a lot of hats.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember watching on TV Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, who was one of the writers, sitting, who are we going to cast for Roy Kent? Right? And all of a sudden, it was him.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he took on, you know, he said, I guess I'm the right guy for it. And, you know, and obviously, it had a huge impact on his life.
How about you, James? The same question.
Yeah. I feel very different than Sean does. I feel like my 20 years in New York and on Broadway stages and in front of the camera, I did it. And I feel really proud of my career. I felt really excited to now be able to embrace a new aspect of life and new passions. So, no, I'm not really looking. I'm not pursuing it. Everything I've written, I've never written anything for myself. There is one thing that I have in creation, and it's purely because I always said if I had to do life over again and I couldn't be an actor or be in entertainment, I would have been a Navy SEAL and then eventually the CIA. And I'm...
You have a project for that.
I have a project in which maybe I could play a Navy SEAL. And I would do that because...
How did your dad, James Brown Jr., influence your career? Because he's been in cable, right? We did a little research. So how did that impact you and the decisions you're making? And he's a partner in Storyhouse.
That's right. Oddly enough, you know, I come from a military family. My grandfather was in the Army and tons of, you know, other family members, military. And grew up in sports. My dad was an exec at ESPN, ABC, Disney. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ran track through college. And I did do theater. And I'd like to say I kind of introduced Dad to theater back when I was super young. And we eventually started to do a yearly trip to New York to see a Broadway show. Mm-hmm. And as I brought him into theater, I think getting the almost like okay that it was okay helped. And also my parents have both been really great about follow your passions.
Right.
And so when the kismetic opportunity came for me to dance for Michael Jackson and then ultimately be in The Lion King, knowing that my parents were going to be okay with it.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Orange County in California.
Wow.
Yeah. And so now working for Disney while Dad was working for Disney, and you know, I've done a lot of stuff. So I'd like to say like our careers definitely connected a lot. But it really and truly was him being a part of the industry and giving me the okay that
it's amazing.
The initial dream.
Well, you sound initially when you're talking about my 20 years and I've done it.
Yeah.
You sounded like the athlete who's talking about their career. They can't do it anymore. They can't run the 100 and in under 10 anymore. And so they're done.
Yeah. Well, I can honestly and humbly say that wasn't the reason why I stopped. Like I could still be doing it.
Right.
What I love is that I could still be doing it. And that my walking away from it wasn't because I was injured or I didn't
like
want
Scott
to dance
thinks
anymore.
He can still be on the senior tour in golf. You know, there's still that dream. Yeah. Every week when we play, but there's still that possible dream. We had a guest on the other day who's a guy in his 40s with kids, and he's still trying to get on the professional tour.
Yeah, he is.
One more chance.
Yeah.
Right. So you always have it. I could still, you can act till you're dead.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Are you guys planning to move here full time?
We have an apartment here. And
do you?
Yeah, I've been here more than I've been in Sheridan, Wyoming. I think I've spent 16 nights in my own bed this calendar year since January. I've been mostly in Missoula and then back and forth to New York and L.A. as necessary for the industry for different projects that we have in pre-production. And
sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not to throw cold water on anything. You guys are very articulate. You have a vision. You're clear. It's understandable. It's exciting. You're enthusiastic. But there have been abortive attempts, as we started off with.
Yeah.
Sure. Not only in this area, but other people that have come in here and try to do a year-round thing with something that is project-based in a way, right? I mean, that's what this is. And so is there a backup plan? Not that you ever want to, implement it. Is there a plan if you can't make this work viably financially to do something else with the site or to have a alternative vision?
You got to burn the boats, Arnie. You got to burn the boats. And so, as far
as... We don't have any Vikings here, so I just want to be clear
As far as backup plans, the beauty of the project and of Storyhouse, the way we've structured it, is it's all real estate backed. It's a hard asset there.
That's important.
The bottom's never fallen out.
Right.
That said, we are confident to a fault that we have a clear path in what we're going to do. And the fact that we have our own projects that can fill our own stages up separates us from 95% of independent film production companies in the world. The fact that we control a studio that is outside the Big Five is unique in and of its own. And so we have this this very unique opportunity here that has been long fought for and won. You know, we've had the abortive attempts in Missoula. We learned and studied all of them. And I won't say names, right? But really look closely. Why did those fail? Why didn't they work? Well, from best we can see, many of them were attempting to manipulate the state in some sort of Stockholm syndrome of, oh, we'll come if you do X, Y, Z. We took the opposite approach. We said, we believe in the conversations and the handshakes that were given. We're going to go. And we made that investment and we did it. And then there was that glove that caught us and said, hey, yeah, we'll be here for the next 20 years. Right. And grow alongside you. And we are confident that as we continue to do what we said we're going to do, that will be embraced.
Sure. I understand that. And you also have the Emerald City sitting there, the facility and the plant. It's a once, you know, you're not going to find
one
another facility anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
But we've had people on the show in our early days who said there is nothing that can stop us until COVID came along, and nobody planned for that. Right.
That's right.
So, I mean, you have to, you know, I'm not giving you business advice on the air, but you have to have, you know, reserves. You have to have patience. There's going to be unintended consequences of things. There are going to be factors you have no control over.
Yep.
You know,
and you know, shocks, economic shocks like COVID, you know, have an effect on all businesses, right? So there's an aspect of being a business owner, of being an entrepreneur, that we can plan. And we can, you know, save, and we can invest, and we can, you know, create tons of business plans, and I can tap, you know, the full Wharton network. But there are going to be some shocks that happen. That happen.
Let's do a quick ID. Our guests are Sean Patrick Higgins, CEO and founder of Storyhouse, and James Brown III, president and chief creative officer and co-founder of Storyhouse.
You know, one of the things I do like about that, not to throw a wet blanket over this, let's talk about more of the positives. You're not a one-trick pony. You're not just waiting for the big movie to show up here with, some superstar that's, you know, going to make everything work. You have, and there are other revenue streams that you haven't even mentioned, like shooting TV commercials or advertising for the films that you're doing and all of those sorts of things. Yeah. You know, in many ways, that's how studios support themselves in those slack times.
That's right. Events, other things that you can do as well. And we were talking baseball before this, right?
Right.
Singles and doubles, right? Get on base. Make contact. Let's go. Let's put it together, right? That's really what we're thinking. And then we have that real estate back portion, housing, right? Yeah, there can be shocks to the system in the housing market. 2008 happened. The truth of the matter is the housing need and scarcity in the Mountain West is not going away. And that's just going to accelerate as maybe new issues like COVID or other socio-political things happen in our U.S. that are going to drive people to say, like, huh, I want my hands in the soil. I want to raise a family where they don't have to worry about running around in the park and there being a needle. And I want to, you know, have a quality of life that is just different. And so that need is going to continue to grow. And that's part of the lifeblood of Storyhouse.
Absolutely. On the other hand, you know, a lot of people flooded in here after COVID when they were allowed to, work remotely.
Right.
And that faucet is shut down substantially.
Right.
You know, there are not that many people coming here because they want that now, because interest rates are high and some property isn't moving in certain markets for folks.
Sure.
You know, the jobs here, we don't have a Storyhouse open yet for a number of people, so they're not getting the $87,000 jobs here yet to make it economically viable. I have a house for sale right now, and I'm paying attention to the real estate market. Almost every house on the market is slashing their prices now. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen the effect yet, but you're going to see it. Yeah. The numbers are going to show, you know, that the hard time moving inventory.
Yeah.
I mean, and that all has a role. But in the bigger picture, I think that you're right. I mean, ultimately, when you know, you got the fourth largest state with, you know, 1 million people. I used to lecture in Italy a lot. And when they said, tell us about Montana, I said, I can say it in three sentences. I can say 1 million people, 2 million cows, 3 million guns. I can say that in Italian. So they got it.
It's so interesting. Resiliency and layers in the business plan, right? That's really what we're looked at. We have a wildly conservative CFO.
You should have.
You need one. Yeah.
Always.
He keeps us, you know, on the straight and narrow, which is important. And And part of that is, okay, what's the risk mitigation? How are you approaching this? What happens if X happens? What happens if Y happens? We're not pie in the sky saying, you know, we've got a $1.8 billion valuation on the studios that was named outside of Vegas, right?
Right.
It's half the size of the Roseburg facility, of the Storyhouse Montana facility.
Right.
It's it had, you know, power distribution issues. It was a four-year carry on a greenfield development. Right. And it got that sort of 1.8 slapped on it by a bunch of different private equity funds. Well, we're not pie in the sky.
You're not going to do that, and you can't do that.
You can't do it. And we have a very conservative forecast, right? We have a lot of blue sky scenarios, which could happen.
Right.
And ultimately, you know, in making that commitment, as long as we keep executing on our milestones,
right,
we walk this forward.
Right. I mean, by the way, as you know, there's another attempt to put a studio in Summerlin, Nevada, you know, right, 12 miles away from down.
Right.
People want to be in there for that reason. I don't, you know, it's just, you know, it's close to L.A. It's got all that kind of stuff going for it. But this, in the bigger picture, if you have a conveyor belt of projects and activities and someone's good at spinning the story as you are, then, you know, the revenue drives this thing. I mean, that's what's going to drive it. I mean, it doesn't matter what the building's valuated if there's nobody in it using it.
Right. Yeah, that pipeline of production where you keep people working, but you also keep that steady flow coming through.
Right, and you can bring in some tenants, which is a good idea. It's not just going to be vacant. There are people there running 24-hour or, you know, all-year-long businesses on your site.
Yes. Exactly. That anchor tenant that covers the carry, essentially, right?
Sure,
we get
right.
a handful of those.
That's why throughput is such an interesting idea. So third parties come in with their productions and use your facilities. You just want throughput, right? You just want things being used,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like anyone who's in real estate, at the end of the day, it's a big commercial real estate deal,
it
right?
It sure is.
We just happen to be making stories and exporting them.
Yep, no, totally. Tell us a little bit about the folks that are behind, you know, the people that are behind you guys, that are supporting you guys. What type of team do you have?
You know, we have this incredible vision that has magnetized a bunch of folks. And you mentioned Navy SEALs earlier. I feel like we have this very small and mighty team of subject matter experts in every field. And so Roger Gaudette, who's our director of land management, is the former executive director of Ford Land. Ran Ford's real estate portfolio and helped them develop, you know, 21,000 residential acres under Ford, hotels, golf courses, you name it, he's done it. He had the largest green roof in the world for a while at the Dearborn facilities as they greened that factory. He's here more of as a legacy project, came in as an investor, brought a group of folks that followed him. And the ones that I'm allowed to share are, you know, Greg Jones, who's a board member of Save the Waves Foundation and who's also early strategy at Google. Greg's one of our board members now, which we're really honored by. He brought Google from 85 employees in his sector to 250 employees and scaled that under that strategic initiative. And folks like that who are progress-minded have surrounded this. And then Fred Bautier, who is our champion through and through. We have this family-owned component to Storyhouse where we have James and his father and James's younger brother working with Storyhouse. Myself and my brother is working as a assistant project manager under Roger down in the Sheridan property, seeing that development through. And then we have Nicole Bautier, who's a data strategist for Morgan Stanley, who runs the UK data analytics program for Morgan. She's one of the co-founders, helped us put together the business plan and structure everything against the real estate. And then her father, who was one of our first angel investors, but then who came back in a huge follow investment and has really been a champion and this huge catcher's glove who says, hey, I like the value you're creating. Let's keep walking this forward. I'm going to double down. Let's put it all on black, you know, and
right.
Let's go.
That's great.
Yeah.
How about anything on your end?
Yeah, and you know, Sean mentioned his brother and my little brother that we brought on as team members. We talked about Linwood Fields, who we just brought on, is a great support system here in Missoula and in Montana. Kim Clark, who we talked about, the facilities manager that we've been working with, we're bringing on a new hire, a new VP of finance, Michael Van Canigan, who, you know, again, that family connection. His father is our lawyer here in town, Bill
Van Canigan.
Good old Bill. And so, yeah, so we've been so fortunate to find an amazing team to help shepherd this thing, because it is such a big dream that is now a reality, and we definitely couldn't have done it without the team.
Yeah. What are the next steps right now?
Right now, we get the first productions rolling. We are going forward on the redevelopment plan, right? So we're moving forward and getting a few anchor tenants placed, right, which starts this fall.
Nice.
As soon as they get all their equipment up here and we have those, you know, everyone is rooted, we then start the redevelopment plan. That's a, you know, maybe an 18-month, could be longer, redevelopment of that site, multi-phases, and we start shooting in certain areas of the site as that's going on. And, you know, we have that blessing of space, so the ability to shoot over here on these 5 acres or under this roof while we work on a different side of the site, and
sure,
then flip and go over, you know. So that's all happening in real time. Those things take a lot of time, as we talked about.
Of course.
And then we have other projects, which, quite frankly, until we grow the film incentive in the state of Montana, hopefully in 2027 and beyond, we've got this weird back due cost to Paramount where the incentive's spoken for through 2029, right? So we have other production initiatives which may have to go to other states, which is such a shame,
right,
until that incentive is recharged and the new statute with the sideboards that protect Montanans comes into play. So we have other project initiatives.
What did they raise the
They didn't raise it. It's still at $12 million.
It's nothing.
So, yeah, it was at $30 million till a last vote. Really challenging year. A lot of different budget initiatives being moved,
right,
through, and I'll keep it very, you know, narrow in that answer. I think there's an opportunity to continue to encourage folks to embrace what this is. It's dollars in first, right? So let's talk about how the incentive works really quick.
Let's do this before we do that. I want to take a quick break.
Great.
Okay. Our guests are James Brown III and Sean Patrick Higgins from Storyhouse. Back after these words. We are back with our guests from Storyhouse.
Gentlemen, you were pointing out the fact of how the incentives work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
That's a great question, T-Up. So how these incentives work, it's really a rebate in this state, and it's a rebate in the form of a tax credit. So you come, and to simplify it and oversimplify it, we spend $1 in production. We'll talk about it as $1, but think in the millions. So we spend $1 in production. That dollar gets spent here, local caterers, film lights, jobs, et cetera, right? Then you film a production. You then write for you go through two audits with the Department of Revenue after submitting your full book of business to them about what you actually spent in Montana as qualified production spend,
right,
whatever that ratio is. Then you get a credit back as a tax credit, which could be, you know, 25 to 35%. It's essentially a quarter back on my dollar that we've spent. Then you have to take that tax credit and sell it to a Montana individual or business that has a corporate state income tax liability in the state of Montana. And that guy, that doctor, that lawyer, that local business owner in the state gets a tax rebate on their gets a credit on their next year's taxes. And so you help out that local business owner while also putting new dollars into the community. And it's part of what, you know,
that's helps. An interesting way to roll that out.
Right. Yeah. It's not a big check to Hollywood, right? And
no.
And people need to understand that. And more importantly, you have to understand that economic ecosystem, that when that dollar that's spent starts turning over,
right,
in the community, there's a multiplier effect on it.
Absolutely.
3 times to 7 times is the studied number of how many times that dollar turns over in every community. So if you even take the low end of that, 3x on it, that dollar is getting taxed on its first spend, it's getting taxed on its next spend, it's getting taxed on its next before it finds its way into some Charles Schwab account from a Montanan.
Got it.
Yeah.
Lastly, before we run out of time, how do folks listening get a hold of you?
Yes, so please follow us on @StoryhouseMontana on IG, and you can also connect to us at StoryhouseMontana.com. We have a way that you can submit to us, you can send resumes, you can, you know, send emails, and we absolutely have someone checking that out.
Are you open to the public yet with respect to the facility? Can people start to look at that?
It's a private site. And so right now, especially as we go through the redevelopment, there's some hazards out there,
sure,
right, as we go through that reconstruction period. But We do have some planned events coming up. We'd love to get back on air and talk about them when we're actually scheduled.
That'd be great.
Working with Montana Ambassadors to try to do a walk and talk. Linwood Fields is holding coffee chat backs. We're trying to do that once a month for the community. So we'll definitely be in touch and try to make pointers to the community on how they can learn more and get involved.
That sounds like a great idea. Looking forward to it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you both.
Yeah. It was great talking with you.
Great talking with you, Arnie.
I'll see you next Sunday.
Take care, Scott.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO,